That's Julie's job.
She told me to do it.
Yeah.
So
delegate to people's
per Julie, sit down and shut up.
So, good morning. Welcome to everyone. We'll call the meeting to order and get started. We'll do introductions first. We'll start with the board, and then Hubert will bring the microphone around to everyone because we do record meetings. So we want to make sure we have all that. I'm Julie Johnson from York, and I'm the chairperson of the Board of Commissioners.
I'm Mike Hansen from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm the National Federation of the Blind designee.
I'm Nancy Oldman, and I'm a commission board person.
Darrell Wallen, Board of Commissioners.
And I'm Jimmy Urach. I'm the ACB, American Council of Blind, Nebraska designee from, from Omaha.
Pearl Van Zandt, Executive Director of the Commission in Lincoln.
Kathy Stevens, Administrative Assistant in Lincoln.
Hubert Paulson, I'm recording.
Ooh, that's kind of...
Kenda Slavin, Omaha.
Robert Newman, Omaha.
Bob Needy, Lincoln.
Carlos Ervan, Commission for the Blind, Lincoln.
Karen Anderson, I'm a National Federation of the Blind in Nebraska State Board Member, Lincoln.
Tony Olivero, National Federation of the Blind in Nebraska Board from Lincoln.
Barbara Lowe's,
Lincoln. Brad Lowe's, I'm a member of the National Federation of the Blind, and I'm just one of the huddled masses yearning to breathe free.
Barbara Epworth, the ACB. I'm from the ACB.
Nancy Stelter, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Nancy Plural, Omaha.
Kendra Berengarly, Omaha.
Eric Buckwater, Lincoln.
Paulette Monty, Papillion.
Mark Bulger, Omaha.
That's everybody.
Good morning. Welcome to everyone. Quite the crowd. A few more announcements. We do have public comment times set aside throughout the day. The way that works is when we come to public comment, I will call for names. I'll take a few, and then I will call on individuals in that order. We're really trying very hard to keep to the schedule today, so I'm going to be pretty strict about times.
Good.
So I'd ask that you be mindful of the other people that may want to speak and be respectful of that. And Hubert has a place set up where we don't have a podium. But Hubert, where can you explain the setup?
I'm at a table front center here in front of the board, and I have a space to the left of me.
Okay. For public comments, it keeps it orderly and it keeps us on track. And Nancy, if you have materials and you want to speak from your seat, we can totally make that happen. Meeting agendas and the full explanation of public comment rules and the Open Meetings Act are all available in Braille and large print. To the left of the door that you came in, it's on the wall to my right.
We're having a few more people coming in now.
Okay. Let's have Darrell, if you would, read the agenda while these people get seated,
right.
And then we'll go from there.
We've taken care of some of the details and things. When we start with the rest of our meeting, we'll start with the approval of the minutes. Then we'll go into presentation overview on organizational development specialist, Dr. Nancy Stelter, management consultant and coach. 9:30, we have a focus topic, employment, Nancy Floral and Carlos Servan. 10:10, we have public comment. 10:25 is break. 10:40, we have the commissioner's report. 10:45, report from the executive director. Then we start with unfinished business at 11, budget update, 11:20, NFB Newsline update, 11:25, client assistance, CAP complaints, 11:30, Nebraska Businesses Enterprises update, 11:40, public comment, 11:55 is lunch. We continue then at, I think we said 12:30, but
it's 12:45.
12:45. We've changed that. So 12:45, we'll be back to discuss on organizational development specialist. Our next thing then will be, discuss and act on new executive director evaluation, an evaluation tool, and how it will be carried out. Then for new business, we have discuss and act on proposed dates and focus topics for the 2014 meetings of the commission. We'll have public comment, and then we'll have final announcements, and then we'll adjourn somewhere around 1:45-ish, somewhere in there.
Did you say 1:45?
Roughly, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the way it looks.
We're going to try very hard to make it out of here so that you can have your afternoon.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
May I take the microphone to the people that just came in for introductions?
Yes, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you. If you'll just introduce yourself and where you're from.
Hello, I'm Laurel Friesen from Omaha, Nebraska. Hello, I'm Cindy Bedford from Omaha, Nebraska.
Hello, I'm Pramila Kalaga with the Legion Creighton Health.
Did we get everybody?
I think so.
Good morning and welcome. We do record the meetings, and I announced that earlier, but just so everybody's very clear that these are recorded and available on the website 10 days to 2 weeks approximately after the meeting. So if you want to listen to it, or you know somebody that's interested that didn't get a chance to come today, they can definitely listen to the meetings online. Also, the minutes from this meeting will be available, that's 10 days. Meeting agendas are available in large print and braille, Open Meetings Act, I said all that already.
Yep.
Okay. There's donuts and coffee, too. That's important. and then Kathy can tell us about the proof of publication. And is Nancy Floral in the room? She stepped out. Okay, then I'll talk about lunch. So if you want to tell us about proof of publication.
Okay, the notice of the meeting was published in the Lincoln Journal Star, the Omaha World Herald, on the state government calendar, the NCBBI website, NFB Newsline, and Radio Talking Book, and the notice was also sent to ACB and NFB presidents and the NCBBI listserv.
Thank you. And lunch will be provided for us usually in a room very near, but when it comes time for lunch, Nancy will explain all the details. And I believe it's Sloppy Joe's.
That's what Nancy told me. Sloppy Joe, potato chips, fruit.
And veggies and dip or something. Yeah.
Right.
So if that sounds interesting, you're welcome to eat lunch with us. So we'll move on to, are there any other announcements?
Excuse me, Madam Chairman, but you may have left out one of the most important items, and that is, for those of us who aren't familiar with this building, where would we find restrooms if any of us wanted one?
Mike knows.
Yeah. to find the restroom, you want to go out of this room, make a left turn, go straight ahead, cross the hallway to the other side, and the men's and women's restrooms will be on your right. The women's is the first one, the next one is the men's.
Right, and it's So you're going to pass the corridor that has the elevators, right? And then
yeah.
it's just past that.
Yeah, you're going to go yeah. You're going to go through, because I kind of think we're in a side hallway kind of here.
Yeah.
You're going to go to your left, go across the main hallway to the other side, and then they'll be on your right.
Yep. Thank you. Any other announcements for this? Okay. So we'll move on to our first agenda item, which is approval of the August 10th meeting minutes. Those were provided to us by Kathy after the last meeting, and all commissioners had the opportunity to read through and make any corrections before they were posted to the website.
I'll move the adoption.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that the meeting minutes from August 10th, 2013 be approved as they are. Is there any discussion?
No.
Hearing none, we'll vote. Daryl?
Yes.
Jim?
Yep.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
And a yes. Okay. So then we will move on to our 9-10 agenda item, which is the presentation of a proposal by Nancy Stelter on our organizational development project. So, Nancy, if you have papers and things, and it's easier to speak from...
I can come wherever you would like to.
We just need to make sure that you have the microphone.
Yeah, we just want to make sure you get recorded.
For you. There seemed to be more feedback when I went to that side because of that speaker, so if you wouldn't mind coming over to this side. Mike, do you want to introduce kind of why she's here?
It's like the gavel.
I know.
So Dr. Nancy Stelter, did I pronounce that correctly?
Stelter.
I'm going to get there, I promise. is here to do a presentation today on a proposal for the organizational, what we've in the past called an organizational development specialist. We've been in discussions with her for several weeks. She has done some other work for the commission already, and that's how the board found out about her. And I believe Carlos met you through another organization in Lincoln, is what you'd mentioned us, and that's how you became familiar with the commission and came to do the retreat that you did for some of the supervisors and management. At this point, so she's going to give a presentation today on a proposal for that project.
The commission had talked to me about doing some organizational development activities for them. I have spent many years doing organizational development activities for many organizations. Part of my past life was spent as the director of the National Institute for Leadership Development. And that institute was a coalition of all the community colleges in the United States, and we trained all community college administrators at the dean, vice president, or president level. So that was part of my past information. I think the board has further information if you would want to know what other things I've done before this project that you would be able to see. So the organizational development project will consist of, first of all, meeting with the board and coordinating exactly how they would like to see this, and then a pre-meeting with management staff so that they understand what we're going to be doing. The next activity is to assess the problem, and in assessing the problem, what I've suggested that we do is interview every staff person in the entire agency. Once I've done that, and I've done this in many organizations, once I've done that, I can pretty much draw you a map of what that organization looks like and what's happening in that organization. After that, I've suggested that I've said that I'll compile the data from the interviews, identify other training activities that would be available, not from myself, but from other organizations such as the EAP, is that what they
mm-hmm. yep.
Right.
And those so that we're not duplicating any services or we are utilizing the training activities that are already contracted for by the state of Nebraska.
And then we'll go over the results with the board, and they'll do an affirmation of the next steps that they would want to see from that point. So then I'm suggesting that we do some Myers-Briggs team building workshops, and then we do a follow-up leadership workshop with management staff. As Mike indicated before, I've done some work with the management staff of the commission, and we've had a leadership workshop in Aurora and have been doing some other activities since then. So I'm suggesting that we have a follow-up for the completion of that. Then I'm suggesting we have planning for the future coalition meetings. What this means is that we'll have staff get together and have them talk about what the future is going to look like in this organization, what their goals are going to be, and the coalition. If you look up the definition of coalition, it means come together, so that we can all come together to go towards those goals. The 10th activity on the scope of work that I provided for the board is coaching. I do a lot of coaching with individuals. We look at their leadership activities. We look at the supervisory problems they may have and individualize their coaching activities. Then I'm suggesting a board retreat so we can kind of coalesce all of what this that we've done to this date. Then provide some ongoing team building sessions for staff and do the final assessment of the project with the board. So that's kind of an overview of my plan for the organizational development activities for the commission. If there's any questions, I'm perfectly willing to answer them.
Do you feel comfortable discussing cost?
I have the costs on here. I don't know how that's handled. Working with different boards, every board has a different preference of how that's done in their meetings.
Right.
Just the bottom, with the estimate of what the end, the total cost might be.
I think the Pearl has that.
Okay, unless Mike wanted to, I heard an
umma
from Mike.
I don't have the figures in front of me. So if you do that, I'll go ahead and let you.
Yeah, parts of the totals, part of the activities are to be determined because it'll depend on whether there's mileage, the location of meetings, and how many people on some of the things. It's possible not everybody will take part in everything. So that will, and it's a per coaching, thank you, costing on those specific things. So the cost without the knowing exactly those will be, I would guess, somewhere around $40,000. Everything where we actually have a number, a dollar amount, is just under $28,000. And so I just kind of ballparked my guess for the rest of it.
Something to I know when we've looked at some other, just to fill in that a little bit more, when we've looked at some other individuals in some of the services we've investigated, the cost was significantly more, or not more than that, but it was
per item
yeah. was yeah. significantly higher. So this is her bid for the entire process, whereas I know when we were looking before and it was like just to do the initial assessment was like $8,000.
Mm-hmm. For a survey that we didn't want to do
anyway. Yeah. So, in the course of this work, we've kind of talked that this would be. I mean, this might be as much as a year long project. How long did you?
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah, I'm anticipating 6 to 8 months at the minimum.
Yeah.
You know, it depends upon how much we can do as the holiday season approaches here and how fast we can get started. You know, because that kind of slows things down as well. So I'd hate to have 8 months pass and you say, are you done?
Right. And there might be opportunities that I think we've talked about before. There might be opportunities that we try to take advantage of. Maybe there's a maybe there's an activity we want to do at the state staff meeting, or taking advantage of that opportunity when we are all together. just, I mean, that's a possibility, so.
So. And also for the board members' information, if I may, on the scope of work I provided for the board, you also have what I typically charge in the private sector,
right,
and then what I have going to charge for the commission.
This maybe I should know this, but I don't. What if someone decides that they don't want to take part in the coaching and things, and it would be something that might be beneficial to them?
I don't know. I think that one of the things that we'd want to do is discuss that in our planning session after we have done assessment.
Gotcha.
And then the board can have input on whether they want to make it a condition of employment or whether they want voluntary or how they would like to see it. That would be your choice.
That answers the question.
I was looking through the, the individual staff interviews, and they look like it said like an hour per staff. Is that usual, or is it sometimes shorter than that, or maybe even longer than that? Or is that just kind of like an average?
In the times that I've done it, it seems like that hour is magic. I just did one for a small organization last week. And every one of those folks, I figured some of the clerical staff perhaps would not take as long.
Yeah.
It was an hour every time. And I wasn't watching my watch. It was just that it was when my questions had finished.
That's very interesting. I just, think that's an important thing to keep in mind, too. Because if you're going to do the interviews, you don't really want to cut somebody off if, say, they have more than an hour's worth or whatever, or they really are done at half an hour or whatever.
It's not been my experience today.
Okay.
I think Pearl and some of those who have also talked with me will tell you that it's typically fairly easy to talk to me, and so people they're not usually quiet.
I'm getting that. I really am getting that right talking to you today. Seem like a very level-headed, and no matter what we throw at you, you're very understanding about what we need to know.
And one of the things that Mike didn't tell you, but Mike and Julie know, is that my very first job in the world was for Vocational Rehabilitation Services.
Oh, very interesting.
So I worked for them for 13 years, so I have a sense of the kind of work that you do. Not specifically, but I
That's
a good start. I understand the lingo, I understand the services.
Cool.
Very good.
But that was 1,000 years ago, so I don't remember all of
it. Oh, there you go. You said minimum 8 months you would probably need. What about maximum? You talking a year?
17 years.
I think that we ought to work until this is done, and if it slows down in the middle, it slows down, and we will accomplish our goals no matter what it takes us to get there.
So you want an open-ended time frame?
Well,
I don't think the time frames are going to dictate the cost, because the things that are in here, the things that we're suggesting we do are already in here, so it's not going to change the cost.
Okay, because I can't see giving you a blank check.
Jim, Jim, what we have, she's detailed out a plan here
right.
that she started to talk about with the interview process and some trainings and so on, and at the end of that is a review process.
Yeah, right.
And at that time, we're able to come back and say, okay, we have accomplished everything we wanted to accomplish. Great, we're done. Or, after having gone through the process and now the review process, and maybe even 6 months later, whatever it is, there's this one area we still feel we want to come back and readdress or work on it additionally. And then that would be something outside of what we are contracting her for at this time. And so that would be something we would contract for separately
I can appreciate that. I'm not...
The time frame and the closure, the follow-up and the closure, was a very important thing to me, and I know that's something we talked about pretty thoroughly, I felt, and felt like we had a good plan to know we've accomplished what we set out to do.
Well, and I can live with that. I'm not a big fan of just, open-ended...
Right.
No.
Giving somebody a blank check, though I am a liberal Democrat.
This is Pearl. When we do contracts, sometimes they're for a specific short time frame, like if you're going to work Winterfest, we'll do it for those dates of that weekend. But a contract like this, we're more likely to put an ending date of 1 year, and that's, and certainly can close before that.
And we can always adjust it.
Tidy it up.
Okay. No, I can live with that. We can always adjust that anytime if we have to. But yeah, as long as there's some target date.
Right.
Specific.
Right. Well, I don't think there's any intent to drag, you know, it's like a 5-year project.
Well, no.
Yeah.
Well, I have another question. I'm wondering, say you're one of the first, let's just say, staff that you do an interview with, and then maybe you're finishing up with the last staff or the last few staff people, and the first people realize that, you know what, this or this has happened, or I want to really clarify that because I don't think I made it clear. Do you ever do re-interviews if somebody really wants to do that?
I have not done that in the past, but I'm perfectly willing to do that, yes.
Okay.
Because I want to give everybody an opportunity. Everybody needs an opportunity.
I'm just thinking of myself. Sometimes when I go first into an interview or a meeting, questions don't come to me. But after I've had a moment to think about it, sometimes other things do occur to me, and then I want to go back and say, I really should have mentioned this, or I really should have said blah, 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 whatever. I really think, you know, whereas it probably is not going to happen, especially with an hour interview, you know, it's usually been 15 minutes or something, and then you think about something that you might have said, but usually when you're conversing over an hour, it won't. But
okay. That's a good idea, Nancy. I think what I'll also do is offer the opportunity to email me with things that they also think of afterwards.
Right.
It's a really good idea. I like
okay.
it. Yeah. I've never done that, but I'm going to try it. I like it.
Okay.
I really just want to comment. I just like your answers. You don't leave any gray areas.
Okay.
Maybe you should run for politics.
She
impressive. It's very.
She might get three votes.
It's very reassuring, to have
Thank
direct
you, that
answers.
That was very nice of you. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Are there any other questions for Nick?
I think that Mike and Julie have also done some reference checking, et cetera, and they'll probably talk about that later, I presume.
Right. May I make
yes,
as part of the whole process too?
Yes,
formal something that a project this large does require check, not a formal request for bids, but definitely a checking other possibilities for the work. And Mike and Julie have done a very good job with that, and they didn't just draw a name out of a hat, and so that's all documented.
To be honest, it's mostly been Mike. And then he tells me what he finds, and we kind of talk about it. But Mike has done the
there you go.
Lion's work. Yeah.
Good job.
Just, yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
But yes, the bid process was a consideration, I think. Yeah, we were aware. So. Other questions?
I don't, but I had we had the opportunity to interrogate her. a week or yep. 2 weeks ago, so.
Yes.
And you took copious notes.
Yeah.
I like the word.
Well, if the board does have further questions, I'm sure we can email you or get you on the phone or something.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Good job.
Thank you very much for coming this morning.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
And I did tell Dr. Stelter she's welcome to stay as long or as little as she likes.
Absolutely.
Okay. Good job. Mm-hmm.
At least for the lunch.
All right.
Wonderful.
So we'll move on to our next item, which is our focus topic. This time is employment, and Nancy Fleurl is going to lead that.
Is she here?
Do I need a mic?
Yes.
Yeah. At least for the recording, maybe not for the people in the room to hear you.
Let me bring this chair back. Actually, if you don't mind the public speaker part being at this corner.
Should we want everyone to come up?
I know when I walked toward that speaker is when we started getting the feedback.
Yeah. So. Okay, so I can do that. I can bring some tape chairs up. And then One of the things that we were talking about, our focus topic on employment services and that, and our work with employers, we talked about having some employers that we've worked with for a longer period and then maybe a newer employer. And so for today, we have the honor of two long-term employers. We have Mela Kaligia of Allegiant Hospital, and actually Eric Stukrath from Outlook Nebraska came and joined us this morning. And then we have Anna Haliska with Michael. She's a new employer that we've been working with over the past few months. We also have the pleasure of Cindy Bedford, who is an employee of Cox Communication, and Laurel Friesen, who is an employee of Hy-Vee. So I want to thank everyone for taking their time this morning, because we know everyone works so hard during the week, and to take time out of their Saturday to come and do this and to share their thoughts. So if people would want to come forward, we'll go ahead and bring some chairs up.
Did you want everyone to come up at once?
But we can have the employer start, maybe. Should we have the employer start?
I'd have the employer start, Nancy.
Okay. So, Pamela, Anna, Eric, if you'd like to join us. And then I'll let you pass the... And Eric, what we were doing is having everyone kind of take, you know, 5-10 minutes and talking a little bit about our partnership.
Okay, so there's four chairs up here.
So, who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
So my name is Anna Halasco, and I am the store manager at Michael's, Arts and Crafts store in Bellevue. This is the first time I've ever volunteered or was approached with this idea. And the gentleman that works at Bellevue, it's a high school across the street from us, Bellevue West, he approached me and asked me if this would be something I would be interested in bringing somebody on board. So I had talked to my manager, and he's like, sure, let's try it, see what happens. So I'm always up for new and exciting challenges. So we brought Tom aboard on our team, and when we brought him in as a replenishment associate, which was a 5 a.m. team until 10:30 a.m. And basically what that team does is they unload our trucks and they bring the freight from the back room onto the floor, so that way we have product on the floor for the customers to purchase. He started there, and probably about a year is how long we've had him there. And then in the last few months, I was approached by Carol, and she had mentioned, you know, see, he wanted more hours and, you know, see if there was anything else that we can challenge him with. Well, at Michael's, we also have a frame shop. There's two parts of the frame shop. There's a counterpart where you play with the customers and take their orders, and then there's the production part where you actually put the orders together. There's a lot of detail work as far as putting the orders together, which is joining frames, putting the mats, prepping the artwork so it doesn't get damaged, putting the mats on it, cutting the glass, making sure that the frames are in mint condition and that the mats are in mint condition. So we figured we'd bring Tom into this and do the production part. I tried really hard to talk him into doing the customer part, but he just said no. He didn't want to play with the customer, so we went ahead and brought him production, and he's actually been doing really well. He's probably been back there 4 months now, and you know, he's doing an awesome job. What's nice is when he comes in, we pretty much show him what needs to be done, and then he takes it from there. It's just like any other of my other associates that, you know, if they were in the production part of the framing, they would just come in, be told what to do, and then they knock it out. So it's been really fun. Thank you.
Hello, this is Eric Stukrath. I'm the CEO of Outlook Nebraska, and I know a lot of you guys in the room, but I actually didn't know about this part of the meeting this morning, so this is a little added bonus. Yeah. I'm frequently on the spot, so I can deal just fine with that. But I guess for those of you that are not familiar with Outlook Nebraska, we are a 501c3 not-for-profit organization here in Omaha on 72nd and F Street. We manufacture tissue and towel, and we also are dipping our toes in the water on a number of additional services that we provide. We have been doing that internally for the last couple of years, just general education, technology, some basic stuff. But those trainings are continuing to expand, and in fact, we've had some individuals from the community that are starting to come in and get some computer training. Primarily, so far, it's been individuals experiencing age-related blindness and wanting to get some freedoms back, wanting to get some simple independences back. So we're very welcome and open to those people coming in the doors and learning what we're all about and what we can do to help them. I think one of the positives for us right now is that we don't have a lot of structure. It's more open. It's what do you want to accomplish, and then let's continue to add things to that list as you gain confidence and you gain an understanding of what you can do. So along with those services, the employment end has continued to grow. We have, I believe we're at 43 or 44 people who are blind within the converting division as well as administration. We've had a number of continued upward mobility, people that are transitioning from entry level to higher skill sets, from higher skill sets to management level, and or are positioning themselves for ongoing success by taking business courses or looking at various degrees that they can attain from around the country. So it's been really refreshing to see some of the individuals that had come in, I would say, a little beaten down, a little in a rut, so to speak. And they've worked themselves out of that rut, and they have now taken on they've owned that path to independence a little bit more. So we nudge them along the way, obviously, but once they take a hold and do it on their own, we see that they progress much quicker. So I was also going to talk a little bit, just from a public comment standpoint, so I'm going to take a minute just to do that, just the appreciation that I've had for the commission as we've continued to grow our relationship, as our HR department and all the employing managers that are out there looking for associates to come through our doors and are interested in work. The commission's been very good at trying to find individuals, and we've had some good success in recent months, and basically over the course of the last year, it's been a continued growth. So I really appreciate that, and Pearl, your staff has done a phenomenal job. Outside of ONI, though, I think that, I really want to take a moment to thank Nancy, because Nancy has, I see her at a lot of different things and all around, and I think that it is hard to truly understand the dedication that I feel she has to people who are blind in our community and around the state, and it is deeply appreciated. And I don't think that there would be as many successes without you championing so many things. So thank you very much, Nancy.
I'm Pramila Kalaga. I'm an ergonomist for Legion Creighton Health. Nancy, I've known Nancy for years now, must be 20 years. I worked for vocational rehabilitation for 10 years before my current job, and I've been with Allegiant for almost 9 years. My role at Allegiant is to prevent injuries and to create environments for where people can work safely and give their best performance, and work accommodations is part of it. And Nancy has been a great partner with us, and particularly with me, when it comes to accommodating employees with visual impairments. I've worked with her over the last few years with very closely with five of our employees, and she has literally helped them keep their jobs. and it's ranged from people in our, a person in our accounting office to frontline nurses to executives. One of the things with healthcare, we're really trying to move away from paper records and paper charts. We've implemented electronic health records, and that's it's been a challenge in some ways, but a huge bonus is that all these adaptive assistive technologies seem to be available. The thing that I really appreciate about the work of the commission, and particularly Nancy's work, is effectively what she's done is, with the assistive technologies she was able to put in place for the employees who needed them, she's eliminated the functional impairment. So she brought, so the tasks, the job tasks were brought within the capabilities of the person, and there was no longer any impairment in terms of performing the job. So I know at least three of the people who were going to leave their jobs got to stay. So we get to keep our valuable employees. And I think more and more jobs are changing so much and becoming more computer-based, particularly in healthcare. I think it opens up opportunities to people, especially with technologies available. Does anyone have any questions about specific types of jobs that your clients might be interested in?
What about the nursing? You said something about on the floor, like nursing. Do you have nurses who are with some blindness?
And the nurse, actually the frontline nurse, she works, she's a medical access center nurse and works at a computer all day.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, she's considered frontline.
Mm-hmm.
She does meet with the patient in her office.
Okay.
And basically, she medical access center nurses and surgical access center nurses, what they do is they call the patient before their procedure, and they tell them what, explain the procedure. They tell them how many hours they have to be without food and water, or explain their medications. We also have nurse navigators, a whole number of positions now, they're nurse navigators, and basically they're office-based jobs. And they're calling the patients because of the huge focus on prevention and wellness. The Allegiant system is trying very hard to work with people to help them maintain a better diet, making sure that they have some reasonable exercise, certain things that maintain their health. The past model for healthcare was give them a magic bullet, give them some medication, send them off. But if the patient's dietary habits are really bad, or some their lifestyle, sometimes lifestyle, diet, can really worsen the progress of the disease or create new problems. So nurse navigators call the patient and say, did you get your 15 minutes of exercise today? Did you stick with your healthy diet? Or, you know, they contact them from time to time. They're also there to ask them, they're to answer any questions about side effects of medications or any concerns. But these are office-based jobs. We have them within the nursing profession. We have a big accounting office, billing office, hundreds of people working there. A surprising number of office jobs for a healthcare organization.
I guess that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And some of the assistive technology that we've used is both like Zoom Text Magic for some of those types of physicians, like the nurse navigator, or one of the pre-surgical nurses. You know, we also worked with some of the talking devices of blood pressure cuff, talking thermometer, talking scales, different things, you know, if they should need that to be able to use, so they can use low vision or non-visual techniques as a part of that. In the office jobs, you know, certainly people are going to use the vision that they have, but sometimes that sheer amount of paper. So they might have a CCTV, but they also, or maybe ZoomText or Magic, but a lot of times they're also using a scanner, you know, to be able to quickly scan some hard copy to be able to review paper, because it brings it up on the computer and allows them to efficiently complete those tasks. So just some examples of those types of positions. We've worked with a physical therapy assistant also, and allowed her to meet with somebody who's a totally blind physical therapist, so that she really learned the techniques that that therapist used and employed in working with patients. And so they were able to network, and we worked through the accommodations that she would need. Working with adaptations for the goniometer that you use for range of motion, checking range of motion when somebody's going through physical therapy is an example of some of those things.
I have a question. This is for the manager for Michaels. There's had a lot of great information there about the work environment, I guess, for Allegiant, and I think a lot of us are familiar with O&I and the things that they do there, and O&I is a little different situation where the vast majority of their employees are blind. At Michaels, you know, I'm a firm believer that a blind person can do pretty much any job with the right training and the light and the right tools. What sort of has there been any adaptations or any things that have had to change just a little bit to allow your employees or your employee to be successful? And has there been any problems with that with the other employees within the store?
We've had no problems with the associates that have been working with Tom. Now, as far as accommodations, no, we really haven't had to do anything. We've already got a high standard of safety. Tom is more hearing impaired than he is blind. He does have some blindness from what I understand. But he's been, honestly, he's been made this the whole time the easiest thing to do. So, I mean, we still have our safety protocols. So as far as making special accommodations for him, no. We've, you know, just talking to him. Couple times we've had an interpreter come in, you know, because of the training process of putting together frames, it's a little bit more verbal. So we had the interpreter come in, and we just take it step by step and work with him and the interpreter. And like I said, he's been able to do an outstanding job. I found out yesterday he did his first shadow box, which a shadow box, you have to add multiple layers of mats to make something fit. Well, the particular shadow box was wine corks. So when wine corks, after they've been used, tend to have pieces fall off.
Yep.
So on top of that, there was a suede mat. So not only do you have to be very careful when you flip the artwork over to seal it and put the paper on it and everything, when you flip it back up, it's getting all the dust and particles out of there. So from what I understand, he's had to take it apart and put it back together 3 times, which is actually pretty good, because myself with suede, I've had to do 5 or 6. So, you know, so really, no, we've not done anything special, you know, just, if, you know, he has questions, he needs something, he lets me know, and we just work together on getting what needs to be done.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Can I add just a few words about that?
And with this individual, I think Carol and I were there initially when he first started in the framing area. Mm-hmm. And we talked about, you know, he has really, really good central vision, but that peripheral vision isn't there. And so along with his vision, maybe not always trusting that. And so when we were there, and one of his duties is, as the mail comes in, he checks in the materials that are being delivered that will be used to make frames. custom frames. So he has to unload that and check the numbers and make sure that it matches the customer order. Yeah, Anna's testing me now. So far I'm doing well. And so then along with that, we talked about not depending on his vision, because you need to be checking for Mars, you know, if there's any dents or blemishes and that in the wood. And so what he does is we talk about running his hands around and really checking this, you know, and it's a quick way also to visually and tactfully be able to do that. And so right away he found something, and maybe it was the second or third order that he was reviewing, and Anna came in and said, yeah, you're right. And he goes, well, do we use it? You know, we had an interpreter there, and she said, if you were the customer, would you want it? But the other thing that I really valued is that first day that we were there, Anna came in, and the actual supervisor of the department, I don't remember what her name is.
Amanda.
Amanda was talking to Tom, and Anna said, that's okay. You just talk normal. Just talk normal to him. The interpreter will pick it up, or Tom will pick it up. Just be yourself and relax. And so that's been Anna's approach in working from the very beginning. You know, she's been really open, and everything's going to work. So I appreciate the relationship that we have with all three of these entities, and they have been valuable to work with.
Okay. Good job.
Any other questions?
All right, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Now the employees come up. Yeah, the employees
yes.
are.
Nancy knows both. Carlos did all while they were doing that. Carlos is here. He worked with supervisors to get information provided to the board ahead of time about how we work with
yes.
employers across the state.
Okay.
Let me just ask first, Nancy, were
the employees? Yes.
Sure, Carlos, why don't you go ahead while the folks work their way up here.
Sure, I just want to emphasize that I sent you a short introduction, but in general, the Commission for the Blind is committed to invest on our clients, and our counselors, supervisors find ways they use their imaginations to make things work. We don't look much at the cost, we look more at the results. So I just wanted you guys to know that, and also that your leadership, pro leadership, is allowing us to do that, because in other state agencies, they don't do those things. And if there are any questions in regards to the services we provide in the field regarding employment, I would be glad to answer too.
Okay.
Thank you, Carlos.
And I think the employees are up here. And
yes.
Dr. Van Zandt.
Yes, sir.
I was just going to make the comment that from what I was reading, the materials that Carlos and others sent out to us ahead of time, which I think will be included in the minutes here that will be posted on the web in a few weeks, but I really got the impression, and you know, we've talked before about partnerships and our placement of our being embedded with the workforce development office here in Heartland Workforce
Solutions
here in Omaha, and some other workforce boards around the state. But Carlos pointed it out in those materials that we're also involved in different organizations like Chambers of Commerce and in Lincoln, LIBA, which is the Lincoln Independent Business Association, and there was a whole slew of others that, finding these employees a lot of it is networking. It seems like it's a lot of networking, getting to kind of that old adage. It's a, you know, it's you know, kind of who you know to some extent sometimes, as far as right. making those or contacts and getting to know people and getting your name out there, so that when you have a client that is interested in a particular field, you have some relationships built where you're able to make it approach them or have the client approach them instead of just cold calling people necessarily. It seems like you do a lot of with networking.
Okay. You know, the other thing that I thought was really important in that report was that, you know, if individuals, you know, obviously the commission is there to do things to help people get jobs and whatever and to help you find those networks, but it also stated in there that if individuals are so inclined to go knocking on employers' doors on their own, which I think is a really healthy approach too, because someplace down the line they may want to step up their, you know, whatever their chosen vocation is, to go to something else, and, you know, how to approach that on their own. I think, you know, I really, the independence part of it is really good too. I mean, when you first start, maybe you can't do that, but as you go along, I think that's really an important thing for blind people to learn how to do.
Hey, Nancy, you got the floor. Plural.
Okay. Well, I'm really honored to welcome Cindy Bedford. She's here with Cox Communication, and Laurel Friesen, who's here with Heidi. Who wants to go first? Okay, here you go, Cindy. All right, well, I'm just going to kind of give you a little history about me. I was diagnosed with cone-rod dystrophy when I was 22. I was in the last year of my college at University of Portland, ready to start applying for jobs, and I was scared. It's like, there's no way anyone's going to hire me if they know I'm going blind. And at that point, I was functioning okay. I couldn't, you know, I had to read close to, you know, look close to things to read them, and applications and everything, you know, it's kind of hard to fill out when you're right down on them. But, so anyway, I didn't tell anyone. Went to work for U.S. Bank in Portland, Oregon. Moved up a couple of times and ended up working in loans, and really liked my job at the time, but things just started getting harder and harder. A lot of it was on the computer at that time, but there was still paperwork that I had to read, and I was really having a hard time reading it. And I ended up quitting, and I moved to Nebraska here because my parents were here, a lot of my family was here. And thinking, what am I going to do now? And so I thought, well, I'm just going to start my own business where I don't have to worry about telling anyone I'm going blind and make my way. So I started my coffee shop with the help of my family and, you know, did that for, 6 years. And I was, you know, I was having trouble reading money too. So I was looking really close at the money and I really didn't have any blind skills at all. And then Nancy in 1999 came to my coffee shop and left her card, and I talked with her and she started teaching me Braille, and I ended up really liking Braille and everything and really wanted to learn more skills, but it was getting harder at my coffee shop and not recognizing people, and you know, it was just weird. They all of a sudden they were coming in, I'm like, I can't tell who you are now, you know, and like maybe a year ago I could. And so I decided I'm not going to do this anymore. So I quit my coffee shop and I stayed working with Nancy, but I decided I wasn't going to work. So I got some home skills and braille skills and cooking skills, and we started on the cane, and I wasn't quite ready for that. I just said, no, can't do this, not going to use a cane. And so I put that away, and I stopped seeing Nancy for quite a while after that. And so then I decided I was going to stay home for a while, but there's no way I can get a job like this. And I stayed home for 8 years after that, and thinking I can't get a job. And then I decided I just couldn't do it anymore. I was staying in my house all the time, not doing anything, just feeling miserable.
And finally, my husband at that time called the commission and said, we need to get counseling. And so I ended up meeting Chad. He no longer works with the commission, but at that time he did. And he was really a positive influence on me, and I saw how well he did. And you know, he just seemed to do everything and acted normal, and I thought, well, maybe I can do this, you know. So he talked me into, I worked with him for about a year and a half, and we did all the skills again on cane travel. I was more open to the cane travel at that time. And then he talked me into going to the center in Lincoln, and I did that for 9 months, and that went really good. And I felt like, hey, you know, maybe I can do something. And right after the center, when I got back, you know, I started looking for jobs and applying for jobs, working with Chad on different applications and websites. And then it came up that originally I wanted to work for a bank again. So I was looking at that, and then this job at Cox Communications came up where they were having a job fair. So I decided, oh gosh, this is going to be hard for me to go in all these crowds of people and apply for a job and, you know, try to be normal. But I went, and I was so surprised at how well it went and how nice everyone, you know, was to me and accommodating. And I ended up getting a job, and that was like 2 months after I got home from Lincoln. So I was really surprised. And anyway, so the commission really, really helped me a lot in getting my confidence up and making me feel like I could get a job. And then after I started working at Cox Communications, training everything, Jonathan Ross, who used to work for the commission, now works for accessibilities.net. He does all the scripting for me on my, you know, JAWS screen reader program. So he's made it possible for me to, you know, do my job like everyone else does. He just has to come in and write the scripts that will make JAWS work for their programs. And he comes in, you know, quite often when there's changes made, and I have a wish list every time that he comes in, like, can you do this for me? And it's amazing what he can do. He has made it possible for me to, you know, pretty much keep up with everybody there and feel like I, you know, I can't do the job. So, but yeah, the commission has really opened up my eyes. I think I was very ignorant as to the capabilities of what I could do. And it just is amazing, you know, that I wish I would have known about the commission when I first, you know, got diagnosed. It would have made my life a lot easier. So, but that's my question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
You talk about scripting, and I know how that is because I teach in public schools, and there's always something, they change everything every 2 days, I think. But when you have to have scripting, how often and who covers that? Is Cox?
Cox, yep, Cox pays Jonathan, and he's not cheap.
No, he's not.
No, he's not. No, that's what I asked.
And, you know, and it's amazing how accommodating they have been, and Cox has been great. I can't complain at all. And
that's why they're built.
But, yeah, Jonathan comes in. From the very beginning, he was actually, I think, doing it before I even got there, you know, started scripting things, and working with Cox on what I needed. And
sure.
Cox provided a trainer for me when I first got there that worked there. And so together, Jonathan and he were able to, you know, get me what I needed. Because Jonathan didn't know what everything Cox did.
Oh,
and,
sure.
So this guy had to, you know, kind of help along. But and now, you know, there's changes that are made every so often on their programs and things that you know, now, you know, it's more possible for him to get me other things that, you know, ways for me to get what I need, the information that I need. So, I mean, he's in there quite a bit.
And he's very knowledgeable.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I mean, he's great. He's amazing. I just say, Jonathan, is there any way I can get this? And he's like, yeah, I think we can. And he's I don't think he's ever let me down. So, it's great.
And that was with just what I was going to add. We did all the initial scripting once Cindy was hired. And one of the I think the HR person or your supervisor came back and said, can we have like 10 more Cindy? So I think it speaks to her skills. And
And she's working in the financial services, so which, you know, her banking and her finance background, you know, is really lending itself to that position.
Anybody got a complaint about a bill, talk to Cindy. I'm kidding.
But, you know, the other thing that was really nice about Cindy's story is that the time has to be right. You know, you can be introduced to skills, but you need to be in the right place at the right time to be ready for it. And, Cindy, you're not the first and you're not the last, you know. But you're right. We all wish, everyone in the room, that people knew about us earlier. So thank you so much for coming today.
Laurel.
Okay, well, I started out just really not really accepting my blindness, and then started working with the commission here in Omaha, and that was when I started.
Sure.
Okay, I'm Laurel Friesen, and
sorry, Laurel. Thank you. Go ahead. You're doing great.
Pardon me. I'm nervous.
Sorry.
I'm also visually impaired and or blind, but I hadn't really accepted my blindness until I started really going through the center training and really realized actually how blind I really am. And thanks to everyone at the center, and thanks to my field counselors here in Omaha that really encouraged me to go through the center training, and the center training was a lot like boot camp, but I made it through. And also thanks to Carol Jenkins for giving me the skills that I need that has gotten me my job at Hy-Vee. And basically what I do at Hy-Vee is being a helpful smile in the entryway. And handing out ads to customers if they want them. But if they don't want them, I just give them a smile. So. And, you know, it's all about making lives easier, healthier, and happier.
Can I add something, Laurel? Is that okay?
Which
Hy-Vee?
Peter Park. I want to brag a little bit about Laurel here. First of all, Laurel agreed to come in, and she has to leave from here to go to work today.
Oh, wow.
And it's a football Saturday, and the grocery industry is very busy on Saturday.
Trust me, I know these things.
But unless you have been through an orientation at Hy-Vee, no one will really know all of the expectations. So she has to know everything about the store.
Wow.
And so when people are coming and they're in a hurry, if they want to know where something is, she also can direct them right, Laurel, and say, go to aisle 10. And so as a part of the orientation, we went through orientation. Kelly went through orientation with you. And you, part of it is you have to find, they give you a list of items, and you have to be able to go and identify exactly what aisle those things are in. But I know our time is wrapping up, but the other thing I want to say about Laurel is the HR director, Sarah, said that she's never had anyone more prepared for an interview. She came in, she handled, her and Carol worked through the application, but then she did everything. She went in on her own for that interview.
She came in with her resume organized. Never has she had anyone that more organized and prepared. So good for you.
Good for you.
Any questions?
Anybody? Let's make it quick if we do. Anybody?
I just really thank both of these individuals for coming. I know it's not an easy thing to do, but you both did a great job. Thank you very much. And thanks to the employers as well for taking their time.
I will suggest to folks, I met Cindy a couple weeks ago at the banquet for Outlook Nebraska. She's got a great taste in wine, so there you go.
Okay.
Anyway.
On that note. Hey. Madam Chair, can I just say one more thing?
Go.
I think one of the things that about employment services, I think that there's everyone we work with is truly unique. Everyone has their own skill sets and things that are going to help them be successful. And so some people are out there and are in full control of their job search, and we're supporting them. And there's other individuals that need more support in that whole placement and interview process. And so we really try to work very hard at supporting each individual with where they're at. So it also seems like it has been the Nancy Show, but it just happens to be that you know people for a long time. And we have a huge team here in the Omaha district. And it's because we're such a team that I know all of these people. But they have amazing counselors that are working side by side with them along the way. So I feel honored to work with my team. Thanks.
Good job.
Well, this past September, I got my your sticker on my badge, and then Jack, the assistant store director, surprised me with my first raise.
Woohoo!
And then, just a week ago, I was surprised by Sarah with another raise.
Oh, wow.
Good job. Now you can afford to shop there.
It's just because of the smile and how good I work with the customers. I've gotten a lot of good customer comments.
Oh, that's good job.
Yeah. No.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for coming.
Wow, that was good.
Good job,
Nancy. Listening to these two wonderful women speak, it kind of reinforces something, you know, I think that a lot of us know, but that, in Cindy's case especially, and I know sometimes employers are sometimes worried about costs and so on, and they know right to the penny how much an employee costs. You know, employee costs this much with their computer and this much for their phone and, you know, benefits and all this stuff, and there's sometimes some extra expenses with a blind employee, but if that's the right person, it doesn't matter, because it sounds like she does such a terrific job with customer relations and working with people that you want the right person there. And if there's a few extra expenses because of that, that's the right decision, because she's going to do the best job out there. So, you know, it doesn't matter if there's, you know, sometimes even some extra expenses. If that's the right person for the job, then they're gonna. That's who you want. And it sounds like they're doing an awesome job.
Exactly.
Good job.
And thanks for saying that. But I also think that there some of these employers can be some of our best marketing tools too. So whether it's Cox or Hyatt through the years, when we were starting a relationship with Conagra, mm-hmm. we took Conagra and their call center staff to Hyatt, and the number one thing that Hyatt said, in an industry where you're lucky to keep somebody 6 months, we have people for 15 years, you know, and you can, and it's snowing, and we have sighted employees that are calling in, and our staff that happen to be blind or visually impaired are here. So that speaks volumes for the candidates that are coming in the door. And likewise, you know, all these other employers, and I know that Eric has always been open about us bringing in anyone in the manufacturing and production area to break down that those thought processes that somebody who's blind and visually impaired can't work in these environments.
Right.
So, you know, our business partners, you know, are so valuable in opening the minds of other employers, but then we are very gifted to have individuals like Anna with Michaels who she just thought, why not? But thank you so much for letting me add those comments today.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go ahead. Thanks, guys, for coming. Good job.
Thank you very much for the employers and employees speaking. I just wanted to make a really, really quick announcement, kind of explanatory, because we did this in the last meeting and I got some questions. So I just want to make it clear that Jim is going to run the meeting for the next while. As a favor to me, it's easier for me to interact when I'm not watching the time and thinking about running the meeting. So it kind of it allows me more freedom to interact. So we switched back and forth last time. It worked out really well. So we're going to do that again, and I just wanted to make it clear why we were doing that.
Thank you.
All right. We will go ahead and proceed to the next item on the agenda, which, if my memory serves correct, is public comment. If there's any public that wants to make comment, give us your name. We'll make note of it. The podium is somewhere. You can make your way up there, and we'll...
The podium is here by me, but you do have to say your name.
You make
first.
Anybody want to speak?
Paula Monty.
All right. Who else? Anybody else? All right, we'll take Paulette and Eric. Go for it.
The mic is here. You can sit if you like, but you don't have to.
This is Paulette, and I just have a couple quick questions for clarification, just because memory is not serving, and I know we probably already had talked about this in one of this year's meetings. For the consultant services, that was going to be funded through the Social Security reimbursement dollars. Is that correct? Am I thinking right?
Right.
I can speak to that.
I thought that was you.
Program income, which is what Social Security reimbursement is, has to be spent first before we can spend any grant money. And so that extra money allows us to do some of these extra projects, but before we can spend the grant, we have to, so we actually use the Social Security reimbursement on rent and salaries and such and such. Then when that gets all spent, then we start using the grant.
Okay.
And then the second part of the question that I have regarding the consultant is we are, I believe, wrapping up the Mississippi State study, and how will that information possibly tie into what you're planning to do with the consultant?
Do you want me to
go for it?
Okay, sure. The comprehensive statewide needs assessment that Paulette mentioned is completed, and the final draft is being worked on right now. We'll actually probably get that in the next few weeks. We hadn't really talked about this as a part of the organizational development piece, but definitely I plan to share all the results of that with Dr. Stelter and, of course, with everyone else, but so that she then, it might give her some perspective with the work that she's doing.
Can I add to that?
Go for it.
The other thing is that the statewide needs assessment that's being done by Mississippi State, they're contacting former clients, key stakeholders, so on, and there's definitely components of that could bring to light areas that would be internal things to the commission. Which is where I think a lot of the work that this consultant that's the area where this consultant is working, but a lot of that survey is also dealing with things that are more external to the commission in the means of in the form of the services that we're providing. So this is more about how we operate internally amongst each other, dealing with each other's coworkers, the way we're organized, the flow of things, processes within the organization, and not so much on, you know, we have a technology person in, I guess I don't want to say that type of an example, but that we don't offer a service in Scottsbluff that we might specifically have in Lincoln or Omaha, which is, I think, what the bulk of the statewide assessment deals more with, because it's more things that are client-facing.
And that was my thought process, that a lot of those things, the questions and things that were asked to some of the stakeholder groups and things were both internal and external related.
Yeah.
So that, to me, it seemed like it would be a good tie-in for the consultant to have some information from that that could be pulled in and maybe even more expounded upon with both internal and external, if you needed to do some of the external stakeholder information, that might be a good tie-in for the consultant to start with reviewing some of that information. And I know that this particular piece was one of the things that RSA was looking for you to focus on.
Right.
Because it's that time again.
Yeah.
So I know that the money needed to be expounded upon that particular aspect. So, but I just thought some of the things that were discussed earlier seemed like some of the same kinds of questions that some of us as stakeholders have already been asked.
Okay.
So, okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Eric, you're up.
Again, Eric Stukrath out of Nebraska. I just wanted to make a mention and throw an invite to ONI. For anyone that either hasn't been to ONI ever, or those that haven't been there in a while, I would strongly encourage you to make a visit and set up a tour and get to know some of the projects and things that we're working on. We have a lot of, I guess, growth plans with the facility that we purchased last November. We purchased a 300,000 square foot building. We have three tenants, including us, Goodwill, and Crown Cork and Seal in there. And the long-term plans for the building are to continue to consolidate it into a campus that we can offer greater services for people who are blind. And with that comes a number of different stages. We have some of those stages. Excuse me. Some of those stages are currently being planned, and we have about a $2.3 million capital campaign that we're in the middle of right now. We have a number of philanthropic leaders throughout the city who are highly engaged in the process, some of which you know, even in the blindness community, which would be Stanley Trulson, and he brings along a great wealth of networking opportunities for us. So we're really excited about what's going on, and we'd like you guys to get more excited about what we're looking to do as well. And we can only do that by introducing you to the projects and walking you through what some of this long-term vision for our organization is. So please take the time if you have it, and the doors are always open. So thank you.
Eric?
Yeah.
I've missed the opportunities in the past to come and tour Outlook Nebraska, and I fully intend to rectify that at some point in the future, because I really would like to come and see what you guys are doing. But my curiosity got piqued here just a little bit when you were talking about the new facility that you guys are in now, and the fact that you dropped the names of the other tenants. Are they purely that, just other tenants in, you know, that you're renting space to, or are you growing? Are you trying to grow a partnership with them in what you're doing, as far as services that you're providing and what you're trying to accomplish?
Well, first and foremost, from a business standpoint, they're tenants. Okay. They are they made the purchase possible and make the ongoing business concern. We started an LLC that Outlook Nebraska wholly owns, and that owns that asset and leases it back. We're effectively a leasee as well. So we lease from Outlook properties. But on the partnership side of it, we don't have anything formal that is moving forward with Crown, Cork, and Seal at this time, but we are utilizing goodwill for maintenance services such as snow removal, grounds maintenance, you know, cutting the lawn, things of that nature. So we are highly in tune with collaborations and want to collaborate with organizations from around the community, having them as a direct neighbor and somebody that we can form, you know, greater business concerns with is definitely a high priority. Our goal at the end of the day, when I talked with Frank McGree, their CEO, is how they can utilize our tissue and towel products for facilitation of their janitorial contracts and other job opportunities that they provide for those with other severe disabilities. So,
I guess the reason I was asking the question was specifically because of Goodwill, and just nationwide they are a large employer of blind people. So I didn't know if more than just a business aspect, you know. Yeah, we'll cut you a break on the rent if you cut the lawn, or you know, or trading a sort of goods, so to speak, like getting them to use your towels or whatnot. I was wondering about the employee services. You've talked some about services that you're providing to people in the community and how it started out for services that you're providing to your own internal employees, and I didn't know if that might have started to extend out to Goodwill as well.
I would say there might be paths in the future that are a little bit more integrated than that. At this time, though, we've focused more on bundled services.
Okay.
And I just want to make clear it was not me that said that we'd give them a break on their rent.
Yeah, that's on public record with Mike's voice. So.
An $8.2 million mortgage payment, so.
Yeah.
There you go.
We do have to cover that one. But
right.
As I said, I mean, collaboration is the first word of and so without collaboration, without ways to think about how we work together, and I think Frank is a visionary for what he wants Goodwill to be in this community, and it's a growing entity. So if we can both be stronger for collaboration, then we are 500% for it.
Okay. Anybody else for public comment? Anybody else? Going once? Twice? All right, let's go ahead and next item is break. Let's come back at 10:40.
Commissioner's report.
Yep, okay. All right, Hubert, when you're ready, let me know. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Appreciate your promptness. Returning to your seat. First item on the agenda after break is Commissioner's report. Formerly, when Barb was the chair, it was report from the executive, or report from the chair. I've changed it to commissioner's report because that's what it turned into being. So, does any commissioners have anything they want to report?
I can start. I was at the state NFB convention and worked a lot with senior citizens at the convention and instructing them on basics, and I think that's important thing. I think sometimes we get involved in real technical things, and you got to get back to the basics. Like, yeah. Sometimes blind people don't even know about talking book, or they don't know about other just basic services that they could get and stuff. So that was one thing. And I have talked with a couple of people by phone. One lady I wasn't able to help, but she was interested in blind people sewing. And hopefully I've steered her onto something more. And another lady who was just looking for people. And so that's basically where I am.
Yeah, I was taking notes. I, too, was at the Federation of the Blind meeting, or state convention here this last weekend, and gave a commission update while we were there, a commission board update while we were there. Before that, working with Dr. Van Zandt and Chairperson Johnson on the organizational development specialist project that we've been working on. We've had a few conference calls related to that, and get in a few meetings in Lincoln or by conference call. So we've been spending more time on some commission specific activities than we sometimes do in between some of these meetings because of the specific project going on right now. Okay. So,
Julie? In the last, since our August meeting, I have attended the the vendors retreat, but I think it has a more formal name than just the vendors.
That's what it's called.
Attended that retreat in Lincoln. It was really good. I learned a lot. So informative. I mean, the speakers this year were really, really great. There was a lot of very specific, very useful business development types of information. So it's so exciting to see that program really flourish. It's just, I think, in the last couple of years, they've been huge. I mean, it just seems like overnight it's expanded and has a whole bunch of new people in there. They did their elections, and there's the new board members in there. And so I got to talk with Sandy Alvarado, and she's very excited to be the chairperson of the board now and take that in new directions. Also wanted to let people know that the vendors were very, very appreciative that there was a commissioner present. I didn't realize how important that was to them, but heartfelt, several people told me, I'm so glad, you know, that the board cares and that you're here. So that was really a good time. I also attended the NFB convention in North Platte this last weekend. Lots of good stuff there. I think the highlight for me, though, was meeting a young couple mm-hmm. who have a little boy who was just diagnosed with blindness this summer, I think July. It's very, very new, and they're like the most perfect parents ever. It's like, had their notebooks out, they're writing down everything, you know? Like, they're serious. So I'm really happy that they're so involved with their little guy and that they're really doing everything they can to make sure that he gets all of the tools and teaching that he needs. So that was really exciting. And then NCSAB, National Council of State Agencies for the Blind. I have to think about the letters. It's coming up in like 10 days, and I'll be in Denver. So that's my next upcoming plans related to board activity. And then, of course, you know, all like what Mike was talking about, we did those phone conferences with Dr. Stelter. And reviewed her proposal and went through a couple of drafts. We did, been working with Jim on the evaluation tool, mm-hmm. and that's gone through several drafts and kind of refining that and going back through, and then all of the other miscellaneous stuff. There's been a lot really going on this last quarter.
Yeah. Well, I just by the time since this commissioner's report, just want to say how much I've enjoyed being on the board. And it's been a pleasure. Some of the highlights, I think, attending SAB in Bethesda was really interesting. All the information on rehabilitation and you know, meeting people from NFB, ACB, they were involved in the process, you know, they were in rehabilitation. I think that was really great. And I think looking into this with the consultant and things is really something that's, I see as a big accomplishment for us if we go ahead with it, because we're looking, times have changed, not that we just change everything, we're not after that, but just looking at the commission and how things are done and so forth, I think is a good thing to visit every now and then.
Okay. And for myself, I, since August, What have I been doing? Besides the working with Paulette and Daryl on the evaluation for Pearl, at least that proposal, working with Julie on agenda items, time frame, so on and so forth, that's pretty much been the extent of my activity. And like Julie, I will be in Denver in 9 days, 10 days, whatever it is, at NCSAB as well. So I got family there too. So, all right, that wraps, unless anybody else has anything to add, that wraps up Commissioner's report. Let's go ahead and move on to the report from the Executive Director.
All right. Thank you very much. To start with, I want to present each of the commissioners with a little token of our esteem. This is something we had made for all of the employees of the commission this year with Employee Recognition Day and Staff Appreciation. So it's a case that has, it's a navy blue with white Thanks. Around it and has right. our logo on it, our beautifully displayed logo. And
Thank you.
It's for you to use with when you travel. Some people think it's more like a lunch bag, but it's great for...
Actually, it does look like a lunch bag. Put some sloppy joe in it.
It works for lunch.
What I call a ditty bag.
And it works great as a travel bag as well. So thank you for
everything you do.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All
right.
I'm going to charge through here. I'm sure the time will run out before I'm done. But we're happy to have new employees, two of whom are with us here today. Eric Buttwalter was just hired, started last week, and Eric's here. He's going to be in 4 months of training now, but very pleased to have Eric as our new voc rehab counselor in Lincoln. And then Kendra Baring-Gully is here as well. Kendra, thanks for coming today. She's the VR tech here in Omaha. And I forget when you started.
August
19th. You know, so we're shortly after our last commission board meeting. Mm-hmm. So we're really happy to have both of them here. And then also Ashley Pinkelman was the voc rehab tech in Omaha until Chad Weber's position opened. And now she is the Omaha VR counselor. And she did come back to Lincoln for extra training because the focus of the six-week training for the VR techs is it's not just shorter, it's also different in focus. So Ashley did just complete that full training, and she's on the job now. So,
there you go.
By the way, Kendra did not go to training yet because when we did the switch, it was the end of the year, fiscal year, and lots of focus to do. So she will be coming to Lincoln for training in probably January. So we're looking forward to that. We completed another quarterly update to the Rehab Services Administration, I'll say RSA from now on. The Monitoring Review Corrective Action Plan. We did complete all the steps of that, but had not yet received the full official approval from RSA. So they are looking at the update that I completed this past week. They're looking at it now, and hopefully, fingers crossed, it will all be completely, all the issues that they had resolved. We had to change some wording on a time certification form, and we had to get official approval of our cost allocation plan. And so we did receive that. So anyway, that's always a process to get that completed. Continuing to work with Wes Majerus and Bill Brown and state officials on aspects related to accessibility issues and the state systems. There's a little more detail on that in the technology report later. But that just really continues and will be with as technology changes. It's a long-term commitment to help try to get those things to work for folks. I attended the anniversary celebration for the Lincoln ACB's Give a Lift cab coupon program, and the ACB honored me with a certificate of appreciation. It was a nice event. I also attended the NFB of Nebraska State Convention this past week, as you've mentioned. At the invitation of the organization, I did also speak and conducted a public forum as a part of the meeting. Bill and I went to a fiscal management conference in Washington, D.C. Always very informative. They are doing it about every other year now. We always learn more things we need to use to fine-tune our business operations. And I continue to attend meetings with the center, field offices, administration team, business enterprise vendors committee, the vendors training conference, state agency directors. They don't meet in the summer, but the other 10 months of the year we have a monthly meeting. And I'm on the Lincoln-Lancaster Multicultural Advisory Committee and the Department of Education Transition Advisory Council, which in addition to that, this past month, I think, I went to the Transition Summit that was in Grand Island. And we also had the North Platte District meeting this past quarter, so I was at that as well. We did have the leadership retreat with Dr. Stelter for our supervisors and managers. And we, those who attended that, are continuing with individual coaching sessions. So that's very good. Bob and I met with the newly hired director of the Commission for Deaf and Hard of Hearing. His name is John Weivel. And we want to continue the good partnership the two commissions have had that's really built over the last few years. We are exploring options for our Lincoln offices to find space that's more modern, more up to date. We do now have to go through a formal process requiring our logging of all our exact needs, getting that written out, and a floor plan, and all the specifics as far as technology that we'll have to have. Then we have to request permission from the State Administrative Services Director, for they have to approve any state agency relocating, and then we'll go through a formal request for proposals with the building division. So it's quite a process. Even if it all goes well, it's possible that we could move, say, July 1st of 2014.
So do you have a place in mind?
Well, first we did go visit several places, we being different groups of the team who was available. So anyway, we visited a few places and really liked a couple, but then because we have to go through the request for proposals, we can't just say we want to move to this particular place. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we'll get the bids. We'll see who even wants us, and then we'll, you know, feels like they have the space for the needs that we have, and then we can look at, do we want those places.
Does public transportation really limit your options?
We make sure that we, that'll be a key point in our bid. Yeah. It must be on a good bus line, not right. just on a bus line that's maybe four transfers out somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll absolutely, we won't move unless it's to a place that has good access.
Yeah, I kind of figured that, but I wondered how much that, and Lincoln's transportation is, you know, I don't know, it might be really good.
It's better than no much there.
It's not great, no. And so we will make sure that, that if we move, you know, and even during the whole process, if there aren't proposals that really are going to work well for us, we won't move.
Right.
You were going to ask something, Mike?
It's been answered.
Okay. So then, let's see. Okay, the additional funding from Social Security reimbursements. We, as you've seen with some of the discussion here, we invest in our clients and we work hard to provide the counseling and training they need. And we have a really great system for tracking all of that and submitting claims to the government. And so when people whom we serve as clients, when they become employed and get off of Social Security disability benefits, then the Social Security Administration reimburses us for what we spend on them. This past fiscal year alone, we received over $1.2 million in Social Security reimbursement. That's more than we've ever received before, and it's also more than a lot of much larger agencies receive. So we're really proud of that, and so that has helped us to start looking at things that we can do to really upgrade and enhance the organization. The comprehensive needs assessment was mentioned earlier. It is complete. The employer survey, there was employer survey, staff survey, consumer survey, and key informants. The data has all been collected, and as I said earlier, we'll have a draft very, well, I've already seen a draft and made some suggestions for changing, mostly to do with accessibility. They had some pretty graphs and charts, and we nixed the pretty, and we want to make sure it's all accessible.
Yeah. Mississippi State did that?
Pardon?
Mississippi State did that?
Yeah.
It's not ugly.
So. But they were very, that was the reason for the draft back and forth. They okay. were very quick to say, oh, yes, of course, you know, no problem. Anyway, that we'll be getting that soon, and you'll have it in your inbox to read any minute now, I'm sure. Then field services, our figures, the federal fiscal year, which is the main reporting system, ended September 30th, so the timing now is good to report. In the vocational rehabilitation track, we served 942 clients in or individuals in all statuses, and 42 were closed having achieved their employment goals throughout the year. Then also 39 were closed without achieving employment. Sometimes it's they decided they didn't want the services, unable to locate, they transferred to another agency, and so on. Then in the independent living track, we have served, or we did serve 614 clients in all statuses. 259 were closed successfully, 42 were closed without achieving their independent living goals. Then in the center, since we've been tracking, we've served 216 clients. The competitive employment, or people who achieve competitive employment of those is 123. And so of the people that have finished their training and schooling, 85.3% are employed. That includes both competitive employment and homemaker, which is a viable voc rehab goal as well. We don't serve a lot of homemaker goal people, but it is still a goal that fits for some folks.
Julie?
Yeah, what is the current enrollment in the center?
We have three full-time, two part-time, one who's working and one who's in college, and one
staff
trainee.
Okay.
And then we've got two or three more, or one client from Kansas actually was supposed to start next week. He was supposed to start tomorrow, but there's some things that didn't get handled on their end, so that needs to, those, we had a meeting Thursday and with the director of the Kansas agency, and so that's all getting worked out, but he'll be starting relatively soon, we hope, and then, so that's the ones I know for sure.
Okay, and then I'm assuming with the holidays, probably there will be more people starting January?
I think that's likely.
Okay. Is there people on the list ready, getting close to ready?
I think so. I'm just trying to remember for sure. There are two, I was at one staffing last week, not a staffing, but a meeting where the field counselor met with center counselors to talk about this person who will be starting.
Okay.
But right now my mind's going blank. I can't remember if a start date is set. And but I know there are at least a couple other people of Nebraska clients that are in the wings.
Okay.
Okay, you got a question, Mike?
Yeah, I do. Dr. Van Zandt.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned a few minutes ago about the Social Security reimbursement that we did receive, and that's terrific. But I guess I do have one question about that. You know, the fact that we received $1.2 million either means that we closed successfully, you know, a lot of cases, or it means that we closed a few cases that we spent a lot of money on.
It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
For one thing, because of the way the data has to be collected and the record keeping, that is not reflective of people that were closed this past year, for example.
Okay.
So, and there's a waiting period after which then the claim can be submitted.
Okay.
So, I don't know if that helps anyway.
And then I have a question. I mean, $1.2 million, it's great. But then I think about, we have to spend that.
Right.
So
right.
Are there plans?
Yes. Okay. Oh, yeah. We.
What's on the list?
Okay. The work that we're doing to enhance our organization that we've already talked about,
yep.
The possibility of moving would have some extra costs. That's part of why we started looking at it now. Let's see, we've done some things like buy nicer chairs. We got ergonomically correct desk chairs for any staff member that wanted it. We've done...
new case management system.
Yeah, we're looking at a new case management system that we have to explore and do some research with before we can just go buy it, but we are looking at that.
Remodeling our kitchen.
Yeah, thank
it's
you.
It's a very, very slow process here in Omaha.
In the different offices, we've done some remodeling, working toward remodeling the Omaha kitchen. In North Platte, the kitchen was remodeled completely. And remember, to make sure everybody knows, the kitchens that we have are for training. Primarily, for the group training sessions we have with clients. So it's definitely a client service need. We've done some other renovation, like in the Norfolk office. Dave Robinson, our personnel and business person, had been kind of at a desk along the side of the training kitchen. Well, now we've built an actual office for him up in that office. So that's a good one.
Carlos, that's needed for an HR person.
New vending machines. That's a huge one, especially on the all of the rest areas along the interstate. We have a new contract with Department of Roads, which actually had not been renewed in, I don't know, over 10 years. It was a long, long time. And so finally, through quite a bit of work, got them to sit down with us and work through new contracts, which in fact are costing the vendors less for their monthly fees at the rest stops, but also then is requiring us to install all new machines that are physically accessible. So that's a big, huge cost. Thank you.
Dr. Van Zandt,
yes,
and maybe you can answer this, or maybe you'll have Carlos do it, but you know, if you guys go through and buy 30 new vending machines, whatever it was that you needed, the quantity that you needed, that money just comes out of the general VR budget, or because I know the clients have like set aside that they have to do that goes into some other expenses and things. And I guess I thought it was my understanding that some like a replacement of a vending machine or something like that typically came out of that money that they were paying into the set aside.
And typically that's right. There is just a there's a limited scope of items that are things, items and staffing that can be provided or that can be paid for by the set aside funding, and that's established in the Randolph-Shepard Act. Mm-hmm. However, the set aside funds do not come anywhere near being able to cover the costs of all these machines.
So I guess what you're what in essence what you're saying is that you know the cost of the money used to buy new machines and so on, we're not limited to the money that's in the set aside fund. We can get it from other sources.
Absolutely.
Now, are the vendors then in some way going to have to repay that back into? Okay.
No. And also, say a new person becomes a vendor,
right?
Then the client services
right.
funding from Title I of the Rehab Act can.
Right.
help to provide the insurance the first year, the inventory,
right. okay.
and so on.
Okay.
Okay. I know we're past the time.
Yep.
I'm at the top of my second page of my
10
pages.
The
full report, of course, will be as a part of the minutes online.
Right.
And so it's your pleasure whether you want me to give more or
could just thought moving towards a more efficient use of time during
yes.
these meetings.
Yes.
What do people think about getting Pearl's report in advance?
I think that would be a great
idea. Marvelous idea.
Okay.
Starting
in
February. Affect me, but I think it'd be a good idea.
Starting in February.
Is that something?
Dr. Van Zandt has a comment.
Yes.
Yeah, that is. It's usually the day before. I have to get reports from everybody.
Okay.
Those come in.
Okay.
So I can try.
That's fine.
But it...
It would be short notice.
It might be... We might have to consider it a draft. I certainly could provide you with the draft. With
That's
the
fine.
Understanding that other pieces of it... It may not all be there, and that some of it I might need to.
Well, that's fine. We can live
absolutely.
With
it. Absolutely, but I think it just would save time.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
agree.
The more preparation we can do.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah, if you want to put that on the attempt list, that'd be great.
Kathy will help me.
Kathy will put that on the attempt list.
Awesome.
All right. Speaking of attempting, let's go ahead and attempt to move the budget. That was a nice transition. Okay. Go ahead. You got the floor again, Paul.
Oh, okay, yes. We've kind of been talking about budget, so this won't take long. We're rolling along, spending lots of money, but we have the funding. Our funding is, ironically, at a time that many entities are struggling. We're really doing well, but it's because of the good work that everybody's doing, and... We really work hard to make sure that things that we purchase or decisions that we make, if they're based on short-term funding or one-time funding, that we don't, you know, do things that will in fact cause problems down the road. So we're really mindful of that all the time, and I think that has helped keep us, the agency overall, doing well financially. So.
Dr. Van Zandt, during the, I know this is something that we've talked about over the last couple of months. You've kept us informed of it, but the federal shutdown that we had.
Yes.
You know, it's my understanding that really that didn't affect us because of the financial situation that we were in, how the good financial situation we were in, whereas it, you know. We were able if there was supposed to be money coming to us at that time during that time frame, And if for some reason it didn't, we had other monies that we could utilize until things got caught up. But how did that go for us?
Just exactly like you described.
Okay.
The other piece of it is the sequester, which our agency, our budget was cut about 5% of the federal dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But again, thanks to the cushion that we have and the planning, that has not made a major problem.
Okay. So the governor would be happy with our budget situation?
I think that he would, yes.
Oh, okay, well, there you go. Any other questions from commissioners? Do you have any more, Pearl, you want to throw in?
And I'm just trying to think if there's anything more about budget, but I think really that...
You actually have 7 minutes on the agenda. Did we cut you off on the director's one?
Well, I definitely didn't get even...
Well, that's fine.
A tenth of it through, but... But really, a lot of it's updates on everything and from the different areas. And I think that, you know, with the focus topic that you heard and the fact that all of this will be in the actual record of the minutes that everybody can read.
Okay. That's fine.
Other items might need to take more time, possibly.
Yep.
Are we... with the announcements of the new staff that's been hired in the last couple of months that we've already gone over, does that bring us up to all the positions are filled now?
I want to say yes. Am I forgetting somebody?
You just sent out an ad the other day.
For the administrative assistant.
Thank you. No, Secretary One. That's right.
Secretary One. Okay. You're right. question about...
It was unclear where that position
was. Yes.
Right.
That was my question.
Yeah. In Lincoln... We, for a long time, we had two voc rehab techs at the front desk in Lincoln. One lady retired, and then we've had one just there for a while now. I can't keep track of time frames, but she actually did a really good job managing by herself, but it became more clear that we really needed at least a part-time person to be at the front desk. And so we... currently have, that's why it didn't feel like an opening, but we have a temporary, through the state SOS temporary services, temporary person there performing the secretarial duties. It's just half time, and so it's every day, but like from 10 to 2, which helps to give the lunch relief time for the other person who otherwise is kind of stuck at the desk the whole time. And also serves to provide drivers mostly for the center, like on drop days. They need drivers to be able to take people and drop them off and so on. So this person needs to be able to serve as a driver and do pretty, you know, basic secretarial kinds of things. And so that... doing that as a temporary basis has worked out really well, and therefore we created a new position to be a Secretary One level at the front desk in our Lincoln offices.
Okay.
That's the one
that's the announcement.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay.
Because it didn't say in the announcement where it was or that
really?
It was part-time or the pay range.
No.
Or it was kind of confusing.
Yeah, that's why some of us didn't send it out because we are
sorry.
Yeah.
Kendra has a comment.
If I may, the second that was posted did not have that information, but the first one that they posted did have the location and the information.
Oh.
Were you talking posted on the website?
No.
Because the one we got was emailed.
Yes. He emailed one that was originally internal, and that gave the information. And then the second email came out, and that one did not.
Okay.
So somehow that got lost in the
right.
shuffle.
So
I'm very sorry about
we
that.
We have not gotten the replacement that said where
was
from Kathy yet.
Yeah.
So
did Kathy know that needed to?
Probably not, because it was on my things of list to do thing that didn't get done.
And really the developing positions, posting, and all of that HR work is mostly with Dave Robinson.
Okay.
And so he will get the message Monday morning that, and I don't remember what the time frames were of when the position closes, but anyway, we do need to make sure that gets out. The other thing, though, is that with the kind of formal posting of the thing, of any opening, through the state personnel system, that's a whole system, and I know that, I mean, they require all applications have to be online. I've been told the system is very unforgiving. Mm-hmm. If you make one mistake on it and get popped out, you cannot go back in. So, but that's not us. I mean, we're working, we're really trying to work hard with with the state personnel. Actually, what my understanding is that it's all accessible. They worked on that and got that pretty well resolved. But just as a system, except, you know, despite whether you're using a screen reader or your screen.
Yeah,
It's not user friendly.
But once you're set up on it, it's pretty easy. Once you get through the initial process of putting in your information, it's pretty easy to use.
Good. But the reason I go into all that now is that I don't know for sure whether we can, like, repost something that gives those details. So that's something we'll make sure that doesn't happen again.
Find out and let us know.
But we certainly can send an email that has all the correct information to consumer organizations and our mail list.
That's fine.
There's nothing that would keep us from doing that.
Yeah, that's fine if you want to do that.
So I'm glad somebody mentioned that. Anything else?
Any other comments from Mike, Daryl, Nancy?
Truly.
Okay, make it quick, Mike.
No, I said you excluded the chairperson.
I said questions. She used her quota. Okay, moving on to the next agenda item. So you got to have fun up here, folks. Moving on to the next agenda item is NFB Newsline. Registered, I guess, is the official name of this program. Yes. Jamie did send out her report to the commissioners. It will be a part of the minutes. Do commissioners have any questions? And B, Mike, do you want to highlight anything in the report?
Yeah, I think there's two things to highlight in the report this time. And the first one is just, Jamie does a real good job every month or every quarter about giving us statistics, usage, and all that stuff. But they just implemented a new reporting system. And in fact, when we were in North Platte in August, I think I even asked the question if she could get stats on, like, how many people are using the iPhone app and so on. And the answer at that time was no. But now, in fact, with the new reporting system they have, the answer is yes. So we're going to be getting some more detailed statistics and usage information in the future. We've already started to see some of it in the report that you'll all see in the minutes. The other big news is, in fact, this is just this week, because at the NFB state convention, she made the comment that the Grand Island and Kearney newspapers were still having problems, and in the report that I read this week, it says that that's now been fixed.
Yep.
So those papers are now fully available again.
And Norfolk will be added.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead, Pearl.
We have requested that the Norfolk paper be added to the system, and we don't have any real solid information yet from the National Center about when that can start. I know there are some issues related to how the paper itself does its, how their system is electronically or something. But our currently we pay about $35,000 to the Newsline, and with when we add another paper, it's $10,000 for the first year, $5,000 is a setup, and then each year it's an extra $5,000. So, but I've sent follow-up notes, and we're still working on it.
Dr. Van Zandt, how did, you know, it's exciting to hear that additional papers will be available in the state of Nebraska, but how is it that Norfolk was chosen as that one? Was it a number of constituents, or you know, that we'd be serving in that area, or number of verbal requests, or how did that get selected?
It was requests, verbal and email, and then also with information, nothing real statistical or anything, but the Norfolk paper is one that is in the whole, it isn't just in the town of Norfolk.
Right.
The whole northeast part of Nebraska.
It's more of a regional paper.
It really is, and it's a daily, which some of the smaller Nebraska papers are not daily. So yeah, it was the show of the need for that.
Okay.
And the request for it.
Okay.
All right. Other questions from the body up here at the front of the room?
Just a quick question. So you just go to your apps and you can just download that app?
The Newsline app?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I have it on my iPhone right up here.
Cool.
You just go to the App Store, mm-hmm. and do a search on NFB and or type in Newsline or, mm-hmm. yeah, and it'll show up and just download it. You will need your
Apple ID. And
you need your user ID and PIN number.
Newsline. Oh, I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
I got that. Okay.
Which, you know, a lot of people might not remember, because if they're always logging in from their home telephone number, it logs them in automatically.
Mm-hmm.
But you actually need that information to log into the app.
Oh, cool.
So if you don't have that, you can get a hold of Jamie. And let's see if I get this right. Her phone number for Newsline Business is 402-471-8102.
Yep.
Right.
Cool.
There you go.
Awesome.
All right.
Or, yeah.
You'll have to leave a message.
Right.
Then she checks messages and
right.
we'll get back.
She'll return you. Perfect.
Yeah. There's an email address too. newsline@ne.nfb.org would get her as well.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. Anything else?
All right.
Moving on to the next item is CAP, I believe, client assistance.
Yes.
Complaints or issues? We have any complaints?
Let's see. There's several points to make here.
Several.
Four points. One was not related to CAP, but it's the CAP director, Vicki Rasmussen, who did this work, so it's on her report. She worked with Carlos to draft a background screening policy. That's something we've been working on. That is for clients, and so that's something that they worked on together. It has to do with to help with the search for employment. If we being the counselor, for example, is working with a client and they want to become a security guard, and they don't mention that they have some background that would prevent them from being a security guard, then we get through the whole process and then go try to find jobs and it's all out the window.
Okay.
So Carlos can give you more details if you want it, but that's basically, I guess Nancy would like to say something.
Can I give an example?
All right.
I just was developing an IPE with one of the counselors and a new client, and is really interested in being a teacher, and then he didn't say anything, and then we went to meet with the community college to get started, and he mentioned that he might have some promotions at his job that he's working on, and so he might have a chance of promotion, and they were overlooking his background. That was the first time we'd had extensive conversation. So we said, is it okay if we do the background check? And we actually got a release from him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is before this process has been formalized with Vicki and Carlos and what they're doing. And so it came back. He had a concealed weapon in the car.
Ooh.
It wasn't his, but it was the person he was with. And he was confined. He will never be hired as a teacher in Nebraska.
Oh, no.
And so if we had
continued and if we hadn't done this. And so we're really, you know, talking and counseling our clients, you know, if there's anything in the least bit that you're not sure about. But there's other people that we've been working with in that placement process that they just have had such great interviews. They get to that afterwards, they're doing drug testing and background, and then they don't necessarily hear back. So we have found there's some extensive things that they haven't been putting on their application. A lot of employers don't mind if you admit it, but if you don't admit it,
they exactly. Okay.
Right. So, thank you.
Well, and there are certain professions, teaching being one of them,
right,
that you'll not even get a teaching certificate.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You don't qualify. Yeah.
So we caught it right away.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Oh, so I'm over my quota on questions.
That's fine.
But I'm going to indulge anyway.
Yeah.
So are these background checks, how are they required? Is it something that would be asked of the client, depending on the situation, if it's appropriate, or how is that?
It will depend on the situation if it's appropriate, but the counselor from the beginning will talk to the clients about what it's expected. So
okay.
Yeah, that's what we're...
So it's not across the board, we're now doing background checks for all new clients?
No, no.
Oh, okay, good.
Good question. I'm really glad you asked for that clarification.
Good, good. Okay.
Now, if I can quickly tell you the other, the actual client or CAP cases.
Go for it.
Pardon me. As a result of a CAP case, it was discussed that independent living money, that is IL, could be used to purchase a computer, and that the commission could contract with someone to provide training. The equipment needs to make a significant impact on the individual's ability to live independently. But some staff thought that we couldn't do that. Well, we can do that with funding now. Another one is, as a result of a CAP case, discussion was held on clients returning for additional post-secondary degrees after the commission had previously paid for one. Staff were advised to read the academic support services email on the W drive, review the rule, and not tell clients the commission doesn't pay for a second degree. Staff need to take the time to review the need for the additional degree. Is it disability related? Is it needed for advancement or to get a job, and to really explore all those pieces? And then the third thing was that she spoke with a supervisor about a CAP case about the importance of, when a person is currently working and applies for services, to really explore with that person what services they need and why, to help. Is it to help maintain a current job or to get advancement or a different job? And that we need to make sure that we're not assuming that the commission help is not needed, because maybe the person has been quite successful in the past, but things have changed a lot in the job seeking world. And so we need to make sure we really communicate and find out and explore what the needs of the person are. And that's all there was. There wasn't anything. There were no new cases, but those resolutions were very positive things.
Right. And a lot of that's common sense, too, you would think. But
so. Thank you. That's it for
right.
CAP.
Commissioners,
perfect.
Have anything?
No.
Mike, Daryl, Julie,
no.
Nancy? Okay.
I believe.
Julie, you sure?
Nebraska.
Okay, budget, business enterprise.
Yeah, you're right.
Carlos, you have anything on business enterprise?
I have a comment for you.
Thank you for the report.
Yeah.
Any questions?
I have a comment for you.
Yeah, this is the one where in past meetings we've had either myself or Carlos give the full report. But as we did with the Newsline, and we'll do this going forward, the report is sent to the board ahead of time, and then if you do have any questions, either I or Carlos can speak to those.
The in the report that I read already, the two vendor locations that are along Interstate 80 between Lincoln and Omaha, those are not new locations, are they? They are ones that are being vacated by a current client or a current vendor, and new ones are being placed there, or were those new locations?
No, they are not new locations. The current vendor has those two locations, and She wants to list those.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other question, anybody?
Any questions from the body up here?
There is a public comment.
It'll come up real quick.
There's a public comment.
And that's next.
Section is next.
It's next if nobody has anything.
If anybody has, if you can wait on your question, Kendra, Kendra, thank you.
That's all right.
We'll get to that in just a moment.
Okay. Any other questions for Carlos, guys?
Public comment.
All right, if not, we'll go into public comment. The first name I heard was Kenda. Anybody else?
Aye.
Okay, we'll get Barb in there, too.
And you can come up here if you like, or we can bring
if it's difficult, we can walk the mic back to you. Anybody?
We have the microphone. Can you all hear me?
We need the mic for the recording.
Yeah, Kenda has the mic right now.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to know if it's possible how many vendors we have in the state of Nebraska?
In the Blind Vendor Randolph Shepherd Program?
Yes.
What's our current number, Carlos?
14.
14.
14? And how much money has been allocated to buy the new machines?
I believe $150,000.
$150,000. Thank you very much.
Barb, you want somebody to bring the mic to you?
Yeah.
Nancy's
taking it. All right.
All right. Okay. We aim to please.
Well, I'm a little bit concerned that about Dr. Van Sant's report being dispublished to the board. One of the reasons I come, not all of it, but some of the reason I come is to hear Dr. Van Sant's report about things, the commission, the center, the staff, and if that's all left out, then what?
Barbara?
Yes.
I think I can put your mind at ease. What we were discussing earlier was not that she wouldn't give a report at these meetings, just that she would give a printed copy of it to the board ahead of time so that we could see it beforehand and so that we could more easily come up with questions for her that we could discuss at the meeting. She would still give the report at the meeting, just like she always has.
Oh, I thought I was given to understand that it would make it shorter if she didn't give a report.
No.
Okay.
Just allowing the board to be better prepared for the meeting and to be able, if we had questions, that we could form those beforehand.
Thank you.
And then I heard Karen.
Am I correct in understanding that the entirety of Dr. Van Zandt's report is also going to be in the minutes, which are publicly available?
Yes.
Yes, it always has.
Okay. Just to clarify.
That always has been the case.
And might I suggest, and I may be out of line, but I'm going to suggest anyway, if anybody in the public wants a copy of the report, copy of the minutes, I'm sure that, you know, you call the commission office, Omaha, Lincoln, what have you, I'm sure they can get you a copy of it. Braille, CD, tape, whatever, I'm sure they'll work with you.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So just speak up.
I know we cannot put it on 8-track. I'm really sorry.
So, Barb, get rid of your tape recorder.
That's too bad.
So, any other?
Well, I'd just like to say, you know, I think that, Dr. Van Zandt is so thorough in her reports and things that if we just assume that she was good, you know, I don't want anybody to assume that from now on out that we would read up, you know, she was going through her whole report, you know, she might have an hour's worth of stuff, and, you know, which is wonderful, but, you know, we also know that we have to move meetings along a little bit and
right.
Keep them.
Do we have time for one more public comment?
Yes.
Oh, we're good.
Jim,
go ahead.
Time for one more?
Go for it.
Oh, yeah.
This is Paulette. I just had a thought listening to the last couple dialogues. And I don't know if it is already, but are the minutes, are they available on Newsline?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
Thank you.
And they can also be downloaded, too, I think.
We have actually ahead a fair margin.
We are ahead of schedule. Mike, I tell you what.
I think the lunch is ready.
Is Nancy here?
It is. It is. I'm going to run and get the other.
All right.
Hold on one second. I was just going to add another aspect of our service is really doing outreach to minorities. We have minority outreach really to, raise awareness about our services to all Nebraskans. And so today we're really honored to have four of our consumers who are from Burma and Thailand that came and prepared lunch. And so they have been, three of the four have been working all week. And they said, we very tired. so they're very sweet, and I hope that you'll take a minute to get to know them. And the other is a high school student. So she was also busy. You know, she says, I usually don't have to leave so early in the morning on Saturdays. You know, so we have a great group and a great lunch, and hope you take a minute to get to know them. Okay.
Any other public comment? We are ahead of schedule. Anybody? All right, well, I tell you what, if there's no public comment, we will adjourn, get those folks a chance to set up. Right now, the current plan, according to the agenda, is 12:30. Let's aim between 12:30 and 12:45 to come back and wrap this thing up.
And I'll let you know the lunch is being set up in the room that's just outside this door and to the left, and then you'd go back into the left again.
And a request from the acting chair, let Kathy go through the line first.
Are you really going to give us an hour for lunch?
We should be.
It's 11:40 now.
Well, Julie said to break for lunch, break for lunch.
We were originally planning 35 minutes.
Yeah, and that's not long enough because Kathy needs.
So, yeah, you want 12:40? Hour
would be good.
What's enough for you, Kathy?
Oh, half an hour is plenty.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Tell you what, guys, let's come back from lunch at 12:30.
Got it.
Yeah, that's going to be about 50 minutes if you do that.
Why don't we say 12:15? Yeah. That gives 35 minutes, which was what the original plan.
12:15, folks. We'll get it right.
Thank you.
We are adjourned.
Because.